At Dave Gill Chevrolet, we have back-to-school savings all month long. Check out our incredible selection of the latest Chevrolet models, including the rugged Silverado, the versatile Trax, and the stylish Equinox. We pride ourselves on exceptional customer service and unbeatable deals. So what are you waiting for? Visit us online at DaveGillChevy.com or stop by our dealership at 4700 East Broad Street in Columbus. Dave Gill Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. See dealer for complete details.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com. This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Welcome to part two of our conversation of the lure of the Malvern Manor with Josh Hurd. Do you have any suspicions as to why, I mean, exactly what you just said, why this location? Why is this building such a beacon or such a battery for all of this activity? Is it because of the people who had been there and spent portions of their lives? Or is there something more about the property itself that allows it to amplify all of these spirits and emotions to come out for us to see and experience today?
Sure. And that's a great question too. That's kind of the question that keeps me up at night, right? It's like, why is it this place? And why isn't it so much activity in the house right next door or what have you? Mm-hmm. And I guess it's like, I always go back to the fact that with everything that this building was, the people coming and going, like the travelers, right? There's something very romantic about traveling and all of that. And I don't know, like, if that has something to do with it as well. I do know that kind of looking more recently with the group home, the nursing home, things of that nature, you know, at the end of the day, like whether you get along with the person that's across the hall or not, you're still waking up around the same time, you're still eating your meals together, going to bed around the same time, and generally interacting with one another throughout the day. Well, it becomes family at that point. There's camaraderie in that. And so I kind of, in what could only be considered a very chaotic life for the majority of these residents, that was the one constant that they had. That was home, you know, for them. That was where they were comfortable. And that's kind of what I go back to, is maybe that's it. This is home. And so every day I try to be as accommodating, you know, and loving as possible. Like with this, so every morning when I'm there, I open the doors, I say, hey, good morning. I'm talking to the walls, basically, you know, like a crazy person. However, I always say hello, good morning, or good night, or what have you. Sometimes I'll even be like, hey, there's a group coming in of this many people. They're going to be here for this many days or whatever. I'm like, really mess with them, you know, and just like give them hell, you know, whatever.
Encouraging the spirits. Yeah,
absolutely.
An interesting thing I wanted to ask you about when we're going back and you're talking about Gracie and her 13 personalities, you had the deranged murderer who was housed there as well that would torment the nursing staff. These are very interesting characters.
Very much so.
And when obviously there's only so much information, I'm sure, about these people around that we can find. But have you ever suspected that any of the individuals who did reside there in their time had something more attached to them than just the mental illness that they were suffering from?
Very much so. You know, like Gracie, especially, just kind of like getting to know her or who she was, right? One of the things, I guess, that she would say on a regular basis was, the devil's coming to get me, the devil's coming to get me, over and over and over again. This really started to freak out the staff. Mm-hmm. It really did. But it does kind of beg that question, right? Because, I mean, hypothetically speaking, if I were a demonic being of some sort, right? Mm-hmm. Who better to infest than somebody with an ailment like her? Because she's in this institution for a reason, right? Like, and it almost makes you wonder, like, who's gonna believe her?
Exactly.
She's already here, you know. And that's a sad thing to say, but it does make you wonder if there wasn't something else going on with that. And I will say that there is something at Malvern Manor that does not wish us well. I hate putting out the D word,
sure,
right? Because I do think it's overused, but at the same time, I don't know. It could just be somebody who's very angry, mm-hmm, very upset. I don't know. But yeah, a lot of people are just like, oh, there's a demonic presence here or there or whatever. And I don't know. I don't want to go down that path yet.
Yeah. No, that's understandable. And I completely agree. It gets overused. It's just one of those interesting things where, you know, was it something demonic attached to some of these people, or was it just some sort of asshole spirit that attached themselves to these people?
Exactly. And it does make you wonder, right? Like, it's such an interesting, I don't know. Like, just looking at the ailments themselves and just mental health in general and kind of our practices back then and how much they've changed since then. It's like, gosh, man, how easy was it just to label somebody
that and not have to dive any deeper into what may be going on with the individual?
Exactly. Bingo.
It makes you wonder then, too. And obviously it's all opinion based, but you have to wonder, when you have the Gracie spirit, you hear that name being said, Is it truly her spirit that is haunting, or is it whatever was haunting Gracie that is still haunting the Malvern Manor?
It's like, one of my good buddies is Johnny Hauser from the Villisca Axe Murder House, and him and I, we chat all the time. And I was sitting with him one day, and he goes, "What if it's just Gracie?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "The different ghosts and spirits that you have around here." He goes, "What if it's just her different personalities coming through?" I'm like, "Oh my God."
Sure.
That really messed me up thinking about that. I'm like, "My God, sir."
It's one of those things where there's obviously 1,000 rabbit holes you could go down, but it's a valid question. You just said earlier that some people described their time there, whether they were a patient there, whether they were a staff member there, they loved working there, and some couldn't stand it. Some, it was just, I'm done. This is not the place for me. When you hear about haunted locations, quite often we hear about the building almost deciding who it accepts and who it does not. And even when it is very haunted, some people being drawn back to it and loving it, and they can't get enough of it. One of the more classic ones of that, the many conversations I've had with Andrea Perrin about her house, the Conjuring
house.
And how she'll always go back and say, you know, I just loved that house. We just were drawn into it. No matter how crazy shit got, it was still like, oh, we just, you know, it. And it's not like they were possessed or anything, but something drew people back. Would you say the Malvern is like that as well?
Very similar. Yes. And it is interesting to me, because there are, you know, certain groups that, my gosh, they've been back now dozens of times, you know, for investigations, and they can't get enough of it there. And they've had some of the most profound experiences there. And there are others that have gone in and they've experienced nothing, you know, absolutely nothing. Nothing has happened at all. It is interesting to me that the building itself seems to react more when people go in, like with Gracie, for an example. You go into her room and you just sit like an hour, just sit. And it's like, and not necessarily the same battery of questions, you know, is anybody here? Can you speak to me? Blah, blah, blah. None of that. Just, what did you do today? Mm-hmm. You know, how was your day? This is what happened to me. And I'll just go in there and just gripe sometimes, you know, like, crazy, can you believe this? And it seems like that will elicit more of a response than going in what I call guns blazing, right? Like,
sure.
Show yourself and all this stuff, right? Because we do have teams that do that too. And I will never tell a group or an individual how they should or shouldn't investigate, because hell, nobody knows.
Sure.
And I think every location is different. But I do know, like, yeah, in Malvern, it does seem like the conversation and just the being personable with them seems to elicit more of a response, for sure.
Let's talk about this, because obviously we're in such an interesting time right now with COVID-19 as we're recording this. And it's been on my mind. And I've actually, this is one of my first interviews that I've done since everything has kind of done an outbreak. It wasn't planned that way. I tend to record like 30 interviews in a row and then take a break for like a month or two and then
Absolutely.
Do 30 more. And so this is just the beginning of my next 30. And I was wondering at the beginning of this was, are we going to see a big uptick in paranormal activity in general at people's homes, at locations that are already known to be haunted, because of the emotional state that so many of us are in right now with the heightened anxiety everywhere?
I do think that has something to do with it. Yeah, absolutely.
So tell me, what are you experiencing? What has increased? What has changed from the world pre-COVID-19 to now we're in the midst of everything?
You know, one of the biggest things is I'm a podcaster as well. And I really enjoy it. And I've set up my studio now over at Malvern Manor. We have a room that is not even used or whatever. So I just kind of made that into a studio. And so one day I was over there and I was just editing, doing just very general work. And I hear just above me a ball bouncing. Now, just directly above me is this room that we call Inez's room. Now, Inez was a 12-year-old girl who passed away back in 1900. It was actually December 21st of 1900. And she was found hanging by her jump rope in a closet.
God.
Terrible. Tragic. Absolutely tragic. But it made me wonder, is that her up there playing around or whatever? And so I went live on Facebook because it's a false sense of security to be talking to somebody, right? So I went live on Facebook and I'm listening and people are hearing the bouncing above me. And so I'm going to go investigate this and check it out further. And I go up there and I do find a ball. However, I dropped the ball a few times just to see if I could mimic the sound. And what I was hearing had more depth to it, you know? It definitely wasn't that ball that I found. So I don't know, but it continued on for like 3 solid days of just this ball bouncing. And it was driving me nuts. Like, I was nerve wracked, to tell you the truth, but it was interesting. So one of my other good pals, his name is Dan Klass. He owns the Hinsdale House out in New York. And we were just talking the other day. He said he walked around and was asking, do you know what's going on with the world today?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what's going on? And it just kept saying COVID, COVID, COVID over and over. They know what's happening. They know what's going on. And then it makes me wonder, you know, over at Malvern, for example, like having a very similar type of situation that happened in the early 1900s. And what's going on today, you know, with that outbreak of diphtheria and people being quarantined and all of that, to now what's going on. There's definitely more activity. And then again, when Johnny and I are talking, you know, when this all happened, they closed the Villisca Axe Murder House down. They shut the doors and said nobody in or out. They had a professional cleaning type crew come in, spray the place down, and quite literally that person that walked out that door was the last person in or out of that building. They've locked it up since. And Johnny and I were talking and he's like, it's almost like they've gotten used to the fact that people now come to these locations to talk to them, to hear their stories. And they enjoy the intention in some cases, right? Mm-hmm. But they enjoy this intention, and now they're not getting it. He goes, and Johnny said, I feel sorry for the poor bastards who were the first in to the Villisca house after this is all over. I'm like, yeah, that's a good point. But it also kind of rings true then to what we're experiencing over at the manor, just with the weird, like every once in a while you'll hear just a deafening scream. And it's definitely like what sounds to be like a small girl. It's a very unsettling noise, especially like as a father, you know, you don't like to hear that noise anyway. It just makes you wonder what's going on with, you know, the footsteps and the pounding on the doors and the disembodied voices here and there. And it's like me again, I just try to get into the like the editing bay and focus on that.
Sure.
But other times it's okay, it's time for a smoke break, you know what I mean? Like I gotta just leave the building for a little bit.
Yeah, it's understandable, and it's one of those things where the house holds so many spirits and so many different things. You need a moment just to kind of recapture yourself.
Yeah, for sure. Just kind of take yourself out of the equation momentarily.
Exactly. Does the Melbourne Manor attract spirits who never lived there while it was an active facility?
So it does seem that way. Yes. The little girl that I was mentioning earlier, her name is Inez Gibson. And Inez Gibson actually died. Like what she was, you know, found hanging by her jump rope. That would actually happen a block away from the manor. So that never happened even on property. In fact, I don't even have a record of her ever being on property. Why she would be at this building in her afterlife is a big mystery that we have. And it kind of does beg that question. Does this building attract others? Because, hey, they see them over here telling their stories, and they want to have their story told as well. Is that kind of what's going on? We just don't know. But it does seem that way, yes.
It's certainly something that begs to ask the question when you have a building like that that is so active. Is it a beacon for others to come?
Right. And I would say yes. Like there was one time, for example, 3 weeks in a row, I had different groups. We have a log book, right? And people write down their experiences or what have you, which is great because I like to, again, correlate everything that I possibly can. And the one thing that they were saying over this 3 week period was, oh, we met a spirit named Jeff. I'm like, well, that's a new one. You know, I've never heard of a Jeff before. And I guess they were asking, I guess, the same battery of questions, right? Did you live here? Did you die here? Blah, blah, blah. And it was always the same response. No, I'm new here. I'm like, well, how the hell does that work? You know, I'm new here. Like what? How does that work? But yeah. I ended up having a psychic medium friend, and she's knocked my socks off numerous times. So we were just walking through the building and she said, she keeps like kind of looking around and behind us and all that stuff. I'm like, what do you see? And she's like, we got kind of a creeper. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, what does that mean? She goes, there's this guy. He's like following us around and he's peeking around corners and all that. And she turns and looks and she said, you know, you can come out. And she asks his name. He says, oh, my name's Jeff. Now, again, bells are dinging in my head because, again, I don't share this information with people. I like to see it play out in a very slow burn kind of a way, you know. And she said, oh, his name is Jeff. And I'm like, oh, yeah, well, what's Jeff's story? And she looked at me kind of like a person would look at you over their glasses, like I don't quite believe him. But it says, she goes, well, Jeff says he's new here. I'm like, I think you and I need to have a conversation because that was what everybody else had said. And here I am now experiencing this as well. Super cool. Like, I love that. But again, like, how does that work? You know, we always think of a haunted location. There's, oh, somebody lived here, passed away here, had some kind of a tie to this location in some way, shape, or form. And here's this guy, Jeff, with no tie to this building whatsoever.
That wraps up the second half of our interview with Josh Hurd. A big thank you to him for joining us today to discuss the lore of the Melvern Manor. Until next time for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for your support and thank you for listening.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.